Join the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
Welcome back to Lunch with me, Tessa van Staden. I'm standing in for Pippa Hudson, who's on air a bit later this afternoon. The second part of the food segment today is an interview with the author of a new cookbook titled Our Italian Legacy of Love. Not everyone grows up in an Italian family with a nonna renowned for her cooking, who then teaches her daughter and her granddaughter. But that is the story of the Fulyun Trecani family. For years, their mama Luciana had catered to make ends meet. The children were only too ready to move away from unfulfilling jobs. Wanting to share the love in the form of food and pooling their resources, the three opened Café del Sol in Johannesburg in 2007. Despite a plethora of challenges, the restaurant flourished and also led to the opening of a second one, Café del Sol Botanico, as well as multiple awards. So it's a great pleasure to welcome to lunch this afternoon Chiara Fulyun. Chiara, welcome.
Hi, Tessa. Thank you so much.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. The book is really beautiful. I was touched by the family photos on both the inside of the front and the back. Cover's really, really special. Tell us a little bit about your nonna who was in the kitchen, but I believe then she moved to somewhere else in the restaurant and you took over the cooking.
Yeah, so my nonna, which is actually my mom's mom, her name is also Chiara, so I'm named after her, so real legacy there alone.
Yes.
And she basically trained my mom how to cook when we grew up, and we were so blessed to be brought up in an Italian family where nonna would call us at 6 o'clock in the morning to come and learn how to make ravioli, or 12 o'clock in the afternoon to come and learn how to make gnocchi. And you know, when you're kids and all you want to do is play with your toys or be with your mates, it's like the last thing you want to do. But little did we know it would stand us in good stead for later in our years. And now we reproduce nonna's recipes in the restaurant every day. And you know, mama is the critical one that knows exactly what Italian food must be like, and she's the one that does all the checks, and I'm the one who creates all the modern flair. So, yeah, I think we've made a good team so far from the legacy perspective.
So can I ask you, as someone who works with food all day, I've always thought that if I had to cook all day, I would just eat nonstop. Do you ever get to a point where it has no effect on you whatsoever, no matter how delicious the gnocchi looks or the risotto or the dessert that you're making? Is there ever a point where you're not tempted to quickly taste?
Sure, we have to taste. I think that's fundamental. So definitely no, I think we'll always taste, but we do have to practice self-control, because even though we're Italians, you know, carbs are always like not a woman's bestest friend. So we have to moderate, you know, like, especially if you're around it all day, every single day. It's kind of like, hey, today I'm going to have my pasta and I'm going to really enjoy it. But from a quality control perspective, you know, we have to taste and check.
Sure.
But then instead of eating a whole bowl of gnocchi, we will just put in two pieces and make sure that they're cooked perfectly, you know, instead of eating the whole bowl.
And before we get to the book and some of the recipes, just out of interest, are your friends ever nervous to invite you to dinner or lunch because they feel like you're going to be scrutinizing what they've made?
It's so funny, yes, they are. And you know what? It's actually just such an honor to be cooked for sometimes. And, you know, I just, like, a lot of my friends are like, oh, I'm nervous. And I'm like, but why? Like, I'm probably the most chilled person when it comes to food, because I can always come in and help you, or, you know, I will give you honest feedback, or, you know, so I think people just get nervous, but it's unnecessarily. You know, my husband, when I first met him, decided to cook for the whole family. And all my friends are like, yes, he's brave.
He is brave.
Like, I can't believe he actually did that for you guys. And I was like, yeah, he accepted quite a challenge there.
Yeah. So tell us about the importance of using quality ingredients.
So I think that's probably what's, you know, really held us in good stead with the brand. We started the restaurants 14 years ago. And since 14 years ago, we've always had a no-compromise approach to ingredients. And you know, food costs have gone through the roof, and unfortunately it seems with pricing having to go up. But when it comes to things like a really good Parmesan cheese, a Grana Padano or a Parmigiano Reggiano, there's absolutely no the flavor profile of those cheeses. You just cannot replicate, you know, in a young cheese or something that's not imported or properly locally made. So it just, I think it's 100% vital. Also from a perspective of olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, really good quality balsamic, you know, especially the imported products, like really good tomatoes. It's something like tinned tomato in Italy. The tomatoes that are fresh are just so amazing. And we don't have the same flavor in South Africa. So we actually have to use the imported ones. But even that's difficult because you need to find a supplier that has consistency. Mm. Otherwise, you use a tinned tomato today and it tastes more acidic. Tomorrow it's sweeter. And you've got to constantly play this game of balancing, you know, flavors. Whereas if you have a product that's consistent, might be a little bit more premium price, we use Mutti tomato. But it definitely delivers in the flavor profile.
To our listeners, if you've just tuned in, you're hearing the voice of Chiara Fulyun, who's author of a new cookbook called Our Italian Legacy of Love. Chiara, you just mentioned consistency and just how important that is with regards to suppliers and quality of product. How has COVID impacted consistency from your point of view?
You know, for the industry, especially when you're sitting on shorter hands or skeleton staff, it was really difficult to manage at one stage, because part of COVID-19 was to give everyone an equal chance to work so that they could all get an equal amount of hours. But you always will have one person who's got a more developed palate or, you know, a head of a section. So that was quite difficult to manage when you know, we had no choice but to do short time, short staff. But, you know, luckily at the moment, and I just pray that it doesn't change too drastically, you know, with all this upsurgence. But, it, you know, a restaurant is as good as its last meal, and consistency is king. In any brand, I think consistency is king, and the consistent space and a consistent meal and a consistent look, feel. If you stick to your core and to your values and you're consistent with that, I think you always deliver a premium product, you know, regardless what type of product it is. So I think in restaurants, it's particularly very important.
And when you started the first restaurant with your two relatives in 2007, yes. Right? That's 14 years ago. Were there moments, there must have been moments when you doubted your decision, doubted whether this was going to work. How did you navigate that uncertainty, and how did you talk yourself through it?
Sure, it's really tough in the beginning because you have to pull on all the energy and motivation you have to literally get going. But I think if you have passion, you have everything. And it was literally our passion for love and for people and for putting love into food and, you know, for the passion of food really pulled us through. I mean, there were times that we ran out of money and we were like, how are we going to complete this thing? How are we going to actually get it open? There were times where, you know, I'll never forget in our first year, our original name of our restaurant was Cafe Del, S-O-U-L, Cafe of the Soul. And we had to change our name because we had an interdict from Chicken Licken, because they've patented the word soul in South Africa. Right. And we had 21 days to literally change our name. And this was like all in the beginning where we had put all of our money into the restaurant. We had no money to fight or to do anything else but to, you know, to change our name. But everything happens for a reason. I think that's one thing about being that's beautiful is you have to sometimes just sit back and take an objective approach. And sometimes the biggest mountains are, you know, the things that actually lead you into the right direction. So at times it was really hard. We used to, in the beginning, we used to be called the Ring-a-Ring-a Rosa Kitchen because we had no professional training in chefing when we started. You know, it was just passion and home and legacy and, you know, family recipes and what mama made that we loved that we wanted to see.
Yes.
And we had a German chef that came in and he was like, right, guys, if you want to run a restaurant, you've got to do mise en place. And we looked at him and we thought, what is that? Like, what is that, you know? And he literally taught us how to do it. And he said, when our first orders came in, he had to firstly force us to open because we were like, how are we going to charge people for food? You know, this is what we do. We give and we give and we give. Like, that boundary to cross was just so difficult for us. And it was like, I don't care, put a price, tomorrow we are opening. And the first customer came in at 8 o'clock in the morning, because at that stage we didn't know what our rhythm would be or anything like that. And we must have run from one fridge at the back to one fridge in the front to another fridge here. And he was like, okay, my ringer, Rosie, I can see you've got the passion, you will do this, but there's certain things that you need to learn. So it was an amazing learning curve. And I think, you know, if you can dream it and you can believe it, you can do it. And you just need to find the passion and dig deep.
It's so wonderful that you're sharing that.
Definitely dig deep.
Yeah, it was so wonderful. Sorry to interrupt that you're sharing that, because we had a guest on earlier in the show, a young filmmaker, who was saying exactly the same thing. You know, that if you're passionate about something, you will find the time and start with what you have, which is really, really what you're saying. So I know that there are chapters on breakfast and also cocktails in the book. Italians tend to do a light coffee and perhaps a small pastry or something for breakfast. How have you had to adapt that for the South African appetite?
You know, when we started, we used to do breakfast. And then, you know, we just decided that the amount of time that it actually takes to make a breakfast is the amount of time that it takes to make a beautiful pasta. And we all just decided that from a perspective of running the business, lunches and dinners would be our main trade. But us as a South African family, you know, we appreciate the fact that in Italy it's on the run and you stand up, you have an espresso, you grab a quick bite. Mm. But South Africans actually love breakfast. It's a huge cultural tradition. So in the book we have a bit of both, because we do love our breakfast as well. You know, as an Italian South African family, we'll never forget our South African roots as much as our Italian roots. So the great thing about the book is it's kind of like a marriage between the Italian South African upbringing. Like even our sauces, we had to kind of make them more South African, put a little bit more sauce because they like them a bit more saucy. Whereas in Italy, the hero is the pasta.
That's,
you know,
true.
Whereas in South Africa, it's a bit of both. Mm. So we've definitely had to adapt and, you know, keep an open mind.
If you've just tuned in, we are talking to the author of a new cookbook, Our Italian Legacy of Love. Her name is Chiara Fulyun. Her line is just broken up, so we're just asking her to move around a little bit. But the book is absolutely beautiful. It's a hardcover. There are a range of recipes inside, ranging from antipasto, beautiful vegetable platters, chicken livers, bruschetta, lots of pasta, of course, main courses as well, and lots of desserts. I have a sweet tooth, so I haven't looked in detail yet because I'm worried I may be tempted to try my hand at something and then I'll gobble it all up. But the book is really, really beautiful, and I think it's a bit of a homage to both Italian, Italian cooking, but with a South African flair. And if you want to go and get the book, yes, it's called Our Italian Legacy of Love. And just a reminder that the name of their restaurants in Johannesburg, the first was called Café del Sol. That was opened in 2007. And the second restaurant is called Café del Sol Botanica. So I was just going to ask you, when it comes to pasta, what are the essentials and is it worth the effort? Don't shout me down. I'm just asking, is it worth the effort to make your own?
Definitely worth the effort. Look, essentials-wise, you kind of do need a machine. You can do it by hand, but it's probably not worth the effort because it's a lot more labor-intensive. But you definitely need to start with the beautiful fresh eggs, free-range if possible, 00 flour. It really does make a difference. And it really makes a difference when it comes to the digestion, because Italians are all about how do you feel after your meal.
Right.
Not only how delicious it is when you're eating it, but how do you feel afterwards? And that's when you really understand the benefits of a homemade pasta, because from a digestion perspective, it cooks quickly, it digests much faster, and it has a texture that lends itself to certain types of sauces. Because, you know, in Italy, every pasta has sauce. It's a marriage again. So, you know, certain homemade pastas are better with, like, certain sauces, like a bolognese is great with a homemade tagliatelle. You're going to need your eggs, your flour, a bit of salt and pepper. Literally just mix it all together until it's a beautiful dough. The dough has to be well rested. Resting the dough is a very important step, again, for the gluten, because if the gluten doesn't rest properly, it's going to be harder to digest. And it is a little bit of a process, but, you know, with a bit of practice and knowing what the texture must feel like and you know, once you've rolled it out and you've got it and you've cooked it and you eat it, you'll definitely have it again. There's no doubt. So worth the effort, yes. But there are certain packet pastas which are also fantastic. So I can't shoot them down either.
What do you think is the restaurant's most successful or best pasta dish and why?
Sure, it's a tough one. But I think for me, definitely our ravioli. So we make homemade pasta and then we fill it with different fillings. So we do, and we actually change it pretty much daily. So it's always a surprise. You're going to come and today you might get puccini mushroom with ricotta, a bit of parsley, garlic, everything cooked and then filled into the pasta pockets and served in a beautiful truffle mushroom cream sauce. And then you might come next time and get three different cheeses with baby spinach, also very delicate. So I think that's definitely become very popular. And ravioli is a lot of hard work as well. Mm. You know, and again, when it comes to resting the dough, if you don't rest it properly, you're not going to be able to fit the sheets together properly, or if you put too much egg or too little. So I think that's definitely a treat that people don't often make at home. And it's not like it's been sitting in the freezer. It's literally made fresh, daily, cooked. When we run out, we run out. You know?
We've got about a minute.
How we do.
Thanks, Akira. We've got about a minute left. When it comes to dolce dessert, I know that panna cotta has to have the wobble. Is it possible to replicate that at home?
Definitely. Definitely. Our panna cotta recipe, I promise you, I've played with it so much to the point where I got the wobble perfect. So if you follow the recipe in the book, that wobble is just the perfect wobble for panna cotta. It's not too heavy with gelatin. It's soft set. And it's just, it's great even as a breakfast. You know, you put a bit of muesli on there and a bit of fruit and it's a wonderful breakfast as well.
On that very delicious, sumptuous note, that was Chiara Fulyun, author of the new cookbook, Our Italian Legacy of Love. They've got two restaurants in Johannesburg, family restaurants. It's a whole family affair and family business. If you want to enjoy the Italian way of eating, which is long, slow, communal and convivial, get the book. It's got fantastic recipes.